Are you ready to talk about Padres off-season baseball?
We've got you covered.
It's the first show of a new year, and while the Padres have made a resolution to have a fantastic year, Jesse Agler's resolution is to stop calling his producer names, and we'll see how long that lasts.
How about Blooper?
Way to go, Blooper.
I take back Porky.
Alongside Jesse, it's Mike Grace, who also resolved not to make fun of Blooper anymore, but has also been known to break his New Year's resolutions at midnight January 1st.
How would you describe Blooper's beard?
Patchy, splotchy,
handsome,
self-proclaimed.
The new season is just around the corner. Spring training begins next month, and now it's time for Padre Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park. Here's your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Welcome to Padre Social Hour. Happy New Year, first show of 2015. A look outside Petco Park, where they are doing business, man. That construction crew is not messing around, Mike Grace. Big video board going to be up and ready for opening day.
Doing work. And I have not made any such resolution to stop making fun of Blooper.
Nor have I. It was some fancy editing he did there. He kind of constructed things from different points in time, and he turned them into a situation that is not reality.
It's a nice effort, but sorry, buddy. It's not going to happen.
Blooper, you all right with that? No, he even got his microphone on for it. No, he didn't. No, he did not. That's all right, though. Hey, I got a lot of baseball to talk about and got a lot of guys to talk to. A.J. Preller, the general manager of the San Diego Padres, will join us next segment. We'll talk to A.J. Also coming up in a little bit, we're going to hear from all four of the players that were introduced at that press conference last week. So you're going to hear from Justin Upton, Will Middlebrooks, Derek Norris, and Will Myers. They're all going to stop by.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we've talked about this so much, but like at no point in the history of baseball can you think of a situation like this with trades. There's been times where teams have signed three, maybe four guys off free agency, but trades to come through like this and to remake your outfield into an all-star outfield, it's just unbelievable to think about. I mean, I think it's all sunk in at this point, and we feel like we know what's coming with these guys and what A.J. Preller's done, but it's still, once you take a step back and look at it, you're like, I think the tweet that you put up showing the difference in the overall rosters between the 2 years is just incredible.
Let's go to that. We got the picture of it, and Blooper's got that ready to go. This is the 40-man roster from the end of the season. That is the, like, October 1st or whatever 40-man roster, and everybody who is highlighted is no longer on the 40-man roster. By my count, that is 19 out of 40, almost exactly 50%, from the end of season 40-man roster that are no longer on. That's like a crazy – put that back up for a second, Blooper. Just like all three catchers, gone. Three of those infielders are gone. Like three of the, what, six or seven outfielders – gone. I mean, the pitching is just purple everywhere. It's wild when you take a look at just how different the end of season roster is to the one that we're going to be going into spring training with.
And this list doesn't even take into account Carlos Quinton. So you've got three guys in Venable, Maven, and Quinton. Likely not all three going to be on this team at some point. So at least one more change that's going to come. And with the way A.J. Preller works, he might not be done. Who knows?
You know, and we'll talk to AJ next segment, but during the press conferences last week, he played it pretty close to the vest, and I think that's generally his thing, which I'm fine with.
Sure.
I don't need my GM tipping his hand. But, you know, he kept kind of saying, hey, look, I think we've got our core here. He was hinting, if you can even say it that strongly, that, you know, he's relatively done. You know, there's going to be little things here and there. The Josh Johnson move became official. They re-signed him. We'll talk about that. But he sort of was saying, like, hey, this is the core of our team. I guess my question for you and for anybody watching is, like, do you believe him? You know, I mean, are we at that point where you're like, yeah, this is the core of the team, and it's only going to be little things here and there, or do you think he might have one more big one up his sleeve?
A big one, probably not. The one thing I was thinking about earlier today was there's still some pretty high-end free agents out there, especially in the pitching realm. And we've seen, as you get closer and closer to spring training, those free agent prices come down.
Yeah.
When they don't have a team and there's not a market for them. I mean, you've still got Max Scherzer and James Shields on the market. Do I think the Padres are going to sign those guys? No, I don't. But there are guys waiting for them to sign, and you might be able to get a bargain on a guy like Irvin Santana was last year, and there's a really solid arm that you can put into your rotation because the back end is still a little questionable, even though there's a lot of guys that we like. Hey, if you could have added an Irvin Santana last year like the Braves did, you do that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And so then, okay, let's talk about Josh Johnson. Let's talk about Brandon Morrow. A couple of guys added, starters. You know, no Jesse Hahn, remember, this year. He was traded to Oakland in the Norris deal. So, you know, you figure Despaigne is there in the back end of the rotation somewhere after your big three, Ross, Cash, Kennedy. And okay, so you got Despaigne in there. And now you got, you know, a Johnson, a Morrow, some young guys that you figure in spring training, health permitting, obviously, for everybody, are going to kind of battle it out for that, you know, one extra spot in the rotation. And you know what? Maybe I shouldn't even be putting Despaigne down in ink. You know, maybe he's, you know, fighting for a spot in that rotation, too, you know, based on how he does in the spring.
I think so, too. And the one guy that I'd love to see just kind of seize the moment is Casey Kelly. We've seen so much, and he's a little behind the eight ball in that he started as an infielder in the minor leagues. Very athletic, great arm. Transitioned to pitcher, had the Tommy John surgery, a huge setback. But from what his potential was when he came over from the Red Sox, you're looking at a possible number two, number three starter. If he could live up to that potential with the stuff, he's a guy that could really take your rotation to the next level. I think you know what you've got in Robbie Erlund. He's a fourth, fifth starter, really solid. You're not going to be disappointed if he's in your rotation, but he's probably a little limited. He doesn't have the amazing fastball that Casey Kelly does. So if you can get a guy like that, basically what Jesse Hahn did last year, kind of came out of nowhere, you didn't have a lot of expectation, and really take it to a level you weren't expecting, that's when you can see really special things.
Right, and that's exactly what happened with Jesse Hahn last year. I remember going back to spring training, and he was acquired, you know, with Torres in that Tampa Bay trade. And, like, at the beginning of spring training, Jesse Hahn was just like, okay, just another prospect, a minor league arm. And by the end of spring training, you were saying, man, this guy might have pitched himself onto the big league roster. Like, you were thinking double A for Jesse Hahn right off the bat. You know, okay, hey, we'll see him in a year maybe. Like, that kind of thing. And he was so good during spring training. Now, he didn't make the roster, and that was maybe more of a numbers game thing than anything else. But, you know, he earned that opportunity when an opportunity presented itself. And when it did, he really grabbed onto it last year. And so, yeah, you make a very good point, which is that we can sit here on, you know, January whatever talking about, you know, these are the two guys fighting for those. But, man, between injuries and between good stories like what we saw with Hahn last year, everything can change in the month of March.
And those are probably a really good comparison between Kelly and Hahn in that you've got both guys with a Tommy John history. You knew Jesse Hahn, no matter what he was in spring training, was going to have an innings limit, so you weren't going to push him too hard. Maybe he would have made the opening day roster had they known, hey, this guy's only going to throw so much. Let's not throw him out there with the big league team. Let's let him get a little seasoning, but he's going to come up at some point this year because I was surprised when he came up last year.
Yeah.
He was young. He had the relatively near-term injury history, and did they really want to start his clock? But obviously they knew what he was doing, and he was ready. You hope maybe Casey Kelly's that guy this year.
Yeah, that would be a great one. Meanwhile, in the bullpen, they're adding arms and names there as well. Sean Kelly from the Yankees, Brandon Mauer from Seattle, who I really like. Just everything I've read about him and everything I looked into, he sounds like a really interesting guy. You know, he's been a starter. He's been a reliever. You kind of figure bullpen for Brandon Mauer this year, but there's a very real possibility that somewhere down the line, you know, he could maybe end up, you know, trying to do the starting pitching thing again. And a really cool arm and a neat guy to keep track of, and that was the Seth Smith trade. So rotation, bullpen, lineup, it is definitely all coming into focus. We'll hear from A.J. Preller next segment what he has to say about all of this. First, though, we want to bring you something fun. We had the big press conference last week, right? Myers, Middlebrooks, Norris, Upton, they were all introduced, and like we did for the Matt Kemp press conference, we sent Blooper and his friends from the video department around to stalk these gentlemen, to follow them around, take you a little bit behind the scenes on their first day as San Diego Padres.
Hey, I'll let you go do your thing, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, great to meet you. Welcome to San Diego, and thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No, that is weird. No green and yellow.
So this is our production team.
Waking up and seeing the water was pretty cool this morning. It's definitely see myself playing here for a little while.
Good to see you.
Wow.
You got your workout in?
Yeah, I got it in early.
Will Marsh, Cody Decker, Alex Dickerson.
How you doing? Will, nice to meet you guys.
Derek.
Will, how are you doing, man? How are you? Good to see you too, bud. Good to see you.
Padres holding a press conference today to introduce Will Middlebrooks, Will Myers, Derek Norris, Justin Upton. Without further ado, we will go right down to Petco Park.
I think San Diego's got a lot to look forward to in 2015.
Man, if that doesn't get you fired up,
nothing will.
I'm ready to go.
Yes.
I'm like so ready for spring training with these guys.
Spring's going to be so fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. It's time now, Seth Blooper, for the picture of the day presented by Sony. Pictures taken on the new RX10 Sony camera. You can visit the Sony store at Fashion Valley to check out their cameras today. That was the layout, man. The jerseys, Upton, Norris, Middlebrooks, and Myers for the big press conference last week. It was really a lot of fun. One of the stars of that show, of course, was the general manager, A.J. Preller. We'll take a break when we come back. Padres GM joins us on set to talk about his busy offseason.
Welcome back to your ultimate guide to the Padres offseason. This is Padres Social Hour, the offseason special from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
All right, well, obviously the Padres have been one of the busiest teams, if not the busiest team, this offseason, and the reason why is sitting with us. The rock star general manager, A.J. Preller, is with us. How do you like that nickname Matt Kemp gave you?
I don't know, probably not apropos, but you know, I'll go with it for a while, I guess. So we'll see.
We're having fun. The fans are having fun. I think the media is having fun. Is A.J. Preller having fun with all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, with our, you know, our baseball ops group and our, you know, our scouting group and the big league coaching staff, when we talked about our team and how to improve, I mean, you know, we weren't definitely not looking to generate the most headlines or, you know, have the most coverage on, you know, on MLB Network or anything like that. I think, you know, what we were trying to do is just improve the team. And I think, you know, probably the nice byproduct of it is just to see excitement. In the last few weeks in San Diego and, you know, hearing people talk about the Padres, they're excited. And obviously it comes down to how well we play and how well we perform on the field. You know, but baseball's fun and it's entertainment. And, you know, you want a team that people are excited to see. And I think we're moving forward in that way.
Yeah, definitely fit the bill. I'm going to go into a little bit the mechanics of getting these deals done. If we go back in time a few weeks, you know, before the holidays, whether it was the Kemp deal or one of the other four trades, or even the Seth Smith trade a little bit more recently with Seattle, you know, the number of phone calls, the conversations, not that you're going to give anything away, of course, but just sort of how that all happens. Because, you know, for most of us, the only time we've ever made a trade is like fantasy baseball, and it's a couple mouse clicks. This is obviously another animal.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of work I think that goes into really all these moves, and really any even small trades and, you know, waiver claims and different things like that, free agent signs, minor league free agent signs, it's a ton of work that goes into it from, you know, from your scouts and the front office group and your advisors. And then, obviously, if it's a trade component, you know, the back and forth with other teams' GMs. And, you know, to try to get a situation that lines up and matches up, you know, is never easy. You know, but there's always probably a little bit of gamesmanship back and forth, and that's probably part of the whole deal. But ultimately, we were able to get some things accomplished.
There's so much information out there, whether it's, you know, Twitter, MLB trade rumors, whatever. That, you know, while you're on the phone, assumingly with, you know, guys from other teams talking about it, we're all sort of like waiting. What's happening? You know, way more of what's actually going on. But with any of these deals, was there ever like a moment where it might not have happened, you know, late in the game, because that was a big thing we were all talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think in trades in general, like until they're actually completed and the commission office has signed off and approved, you always sit there and wait and to see if they actually get done. And then, you know, I think with some of the deals, you know, particularly the Kemp deal, from our standpoint, we were just using that, you know, the window that we were given. And there's a process set out by Major League Baseball in terms of, you know, how deals get done, and then, you know, the medical review process, and then, you know, waiting for Major League Baseball approval if it's a deal that involves, you know, a cash transaction. And, you know, I think we just walked through the paces, you know, that in a normal process for us, and just wanted to use our window, knowing that all these decisions are important. That decision, you know, particularly is going to be a big decision. So we just wanted to make sure that we were doing our homework and following the right steps.
I remember when you got here, one of the things you said that really, you know, piqued my interest was, and I think you're talking more about free agency and the draft, but you really wanted to get an intimate knowledge of these guys as people, you know, in addition to as baseball players. And, you know, whatever the mix is, that's fine. With trades, is that a little bit different? Is that a little bit more difficult because they are under another team's control? Obviously, guys that have been around, you do have other ways of getting to know them. But what's that process like in a trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different as opposed to, you know, like whether it's a, you know, an international player or a kid in the draft or, you know, or a major league free agent where you have an opportunity to maybe, you know, sit down and meet and greet and recruit, you know, in a trade, you know, you're doing your background, you know, work in a different way. And I think the process really stems, you're relying on, you know, on your scouts or, you know, some people throughout the front office or in your baseball operations department to, you know, one, to look at, you know, how they've performed, you know, looking at, you know, obviously the scouting report, how you think it's going to play. And then, you know, as far as the makeup component, you're probably getting a little bit more, you know, second or third hand. But you're still doing a ton of homework from people that have played with the players or coached the guy or somebody that's been around them when they're kids. And hopefully that's where also, like, having, you know, having done a lot of work on the amateur side or you know, or on the international side, that some of those histories, they carry through when you go ahead and make an acquisition on the pro side.
Yeah, so I guess personality makeup, it's never the end-all be-all. But, I mean, you know, just seeing especially these four guys that were introduced today, I mean, there's some really good personality there. And it, to me, it seems like that's not something that happens by accident.
Yeah, I mean, I think our guys have done a lot of work and a lot of homework on the guys that were, you know, that we acquired. I do think that, you know, hopefully acquired some guys that most importantly, you know, perform on the field, but are guys that, you know, that are fun to be around. You know, that definitely seem like they enjoy the game and you know, are going to bring you know, a little bit of a personality element to the you know, to the club this year. And you know, and then, you know, I think as long as the group feels like, you know, winning is the most important thing, that's usually the common denominator and thing that carries good teams.
So much talk about the new outfield and the new catcher and the new potential third baseman in Will Middlebrooks. But you obviously made some moves, you know, to kind of fortify the pitching staff as well. Is this an example of, you know, just not being afraid to build on a strength? I mean, maybe take us through, because I think you talk to a lot of fans. They say, yeah, pitching's good. That doesn't mean you have to sit pat with everything you've got.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you know, that's been around the game knows year in, year out, especially in the bullpen, you know, that each year is a different story in terms of how your team plays and especially on the pitching side, you know. And I think, you know, with the bullpen, obviously, you know, I think, you know, 16-1, you know, when leading after the seventh or, you know, something like that. So obviously it was a strength last year. You know, but I think year in, year out, you want to try to get a little different look in the pen and get some guys that you know, that can help you and give us some more depth and some competition. And the acquisitions of Brandon Maurer and Sean Kelly, you know, like, I think they're going to come in spring and compete with, you know, the Nick Vincents and the Dale Thayers and obviously leading up to Joaquin Benoit and, you know, and Quack and some of the guys that were here last year did a good job. And from the left side, Garces Torres and Jason Lane, a six-year free agent sign. And those guys will come in and compete and give Buddy a chance to, you know, take the top 12 or 13 guys on the staff.
You ready and excited for spring training?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. Looking forward. I think everybody is. And I think, you know, when you have moves that are, you know, in the off season, I think you always want to see, you know, how these things are going to come together. But, yeah, I think, you know, February 19th or whatever day pitchers and catchers, I can't come fast enough.
Awesome. A.J. Preller, general manager of the Padres, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
The season may be over, but baseball never stops. This is your place to talk Padres off-season baseball. It's Padres Social Hour, the off-season special from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Welcome back to the show with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres off-season, exciting, fun, wild, crazy. A.J. Preller, thank you for stopping by. We're going to hear from everybody else now. And by everybody else, I mean Will Myers, Derek Norris, Will Middlebrooks. But first, Justin Upton. After the press conference the other day, all four guys were nice enough to sit down and chat. And with Upton, I asked him right off the bat what his perspective is on everything the Padres have done so far this offseason.
Well, I think it's interesting, interesting offseason. You know, obviously got better in some areas and I think that the team's going in the right direction. I think now, you know, AJ's, you know, kind of put the pieces in place, and, you know, now it's on us to go out and perform.
It's obviously going to be an entirely new outfield, and you'll be a big part of it. How well do you know some of these guys? I know we heard Matt Kemp said he had talked to you at some point during the process. What are the prior relationships, I guess?
I've hung out with Matt quite a bit. You know, we've, and obviously this offseason when the trade was made, you know, we've talked a little bit here and there. But, you know, Ian I played with in Arizona, and I know Tyson from playing against him in high school. So I think, you know, there's a few guys that I know, and, you know, I'll get to know the rest of the guys, obviously, in spring training every morning. So
is that one of the craziest things? It always blows my mind, no matter what the sport is, when you got a couple of guys that either played with each other or against each other, just sort of knew each other in high school, and here you are all these years later at, like, the highest level reunited. It's a pretty crazy thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, baseball is a small world, you know, and guys take different paths to, you know, to the same place, and you know, you meet up at some point. So I think it's a small community, and you get to know people pretty well.
I want to go back to what you're talking about, you know, talking to Kemp or whoever else, like, during this whole process. So, like, as fans, right, we're watching MLB trade rumors. We got the internet, Twitter, like, everything, right? We're all going crazy. We're texting our friends. We're calling our friends. Like, as somebody who's going through that, as somebody who's part of it, do you try and remove yourself from that? Is it impossible? How does that go for, like, the person it's actually about?
Well, I think it's a little tougher for me because I'm always watching, you know, Sports Center or something. I can't watch, like, reality TV or anything like that. But I think it's tough. But, you know, this is my second time around, so I know, you know, when something real happens, I'm gonna get a phone call rather than, you know, trying to keep up with everything that's being said, rumors, blah blah blah. Because most of the time, they really are just rumors.
Yeah, that's a smart veteran perspective. I like that. You know what you're talking about. All right, you got three trips to the postseason in your belt, a couple All-Star selections. The fans, rightfully, are very, very excited about you being here. What are you going to bring to this team this year, aside from the obvious? I think, you know, fans are, you know, okay, who are the leaders going to be? How is this thing going to mesh? Is that one of those deals we can't really get a handle on until maybe spring training and everybody's all together?
Yeah, I think you got to wait and see how the group meshes. You know, somebody's going to emerge as the vocal guy. There's going to be, you know, somebody's always talking. I mean, you're gonna get those pieces into place when you get this new group of guys together. But you know, from my perspective, I'm the type of guy that likes to come in every single day and play the game. Whether, you know, you're banged up or not, you got to go out there and try to help your ball club. And that's what I bring to the table. I've always done that for, you know, the 7 years that I've been playing. So I'm excited with the new group to see how all the personalities mix and see how we can work this thing into the right direction.
Very cool. All right, we got a Twitter question for you. Justin, of course, is on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. This one came from Will. And he wants to know, from your time in Arizona in this division, what you thought of the Padres then as you're playing against them in the division, and maybe how that sort of changed, you know, up to this point in time.
I think, obviously, in the last few weeks, it's changed quite a bit. But always playing against the Padres, they're a team that they go out and play the game the right way every night. And there's been teams, you know, Padre teams that weren't very good, and there were Padre teams that were better than others. But they're always a tough competition coming in. You know, a team that, you know, always played well late in the game, never kind of gave up, never rolled over, and they were, you know, usually a scrappy bunch that you couldn't look over. And you know, it's exciting to be here because I know that's what, you know, Bud Black's done with this team is, hey, no matter what who I'm putting out on the field, I'm mixing and matching and putting matchups out there. But we're gonna play the right way every night, and that's, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to being a part of.
That's great stuff, Justin. Really appreciate you stopping by. Busy day, I know, and welcome to the Padres, man.
All right, thank you.
Justin Upton couldn't have been a nicer guy about the whole thing. And, you know, that was a ringer that those guys got put through last week with the press conference and all the media and the photo sessions and the video and all that, and all of them really, really cool. You know, Justin Upton, we talked about him in the abstract for so long. I think it's always good to jump back in and, like, remind everyone, like, this dude hit 270 with 29 home runs last season. Like, he drove in over 100, like, 29 home runs. And you know, I'm not suggesting he's definitely going to hit that many this year, but he could. Like, this guy is a big-time big league hitter.
If you were to compare all the hitters in the big leagues, aside from Mike Trout, he might have the most physical talent of any everyday ball player in the league. I think everybody's just waiting for him to take that next step into just superstardom because he's got such a quick bat, the twitch muscle reflex through the – I mean, yeah. So strong. We've seen balls hit here by him that are just –
You sounded like a real scout there, by the way.
Well,
you're doing the twitch muscle. And like, yeah, you're like, you're going to put your scout hat on. I'm going to give you a radar gun.
I can mimic things I read on the internet. So, but, I mean, that's the thing. When you talk about a team contending, you need – one guy to kind of get into MVP contention. Yeah. Matt Kemp's been there. This guy's been there for a half a season before. He's got the potential to be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm really excited about. I know everybody else is as well. How about another guy to be excited about? Will Middlebrooks, probably going to be manning the hot corner for this team this year. He also stopped by the other day. And we started our conversation by discussing the fact that prior to the press conference last week, he had never been to San Diego before.
I've never been. I don't know how I've never made it out this way. You know, I've done Oakland, San Fran, you know, some other West Coast, but I've never made it to San Diego.
Interleague play, man. You got the weird rotation and everything. And to be fair, you're only a couple of years into the league. You're part of this, and I'm asking all these guys, and I think it's a really interesting question because from, like, fan perspective, media perspective or whatever, you know, we're texting our friends, we're watching Twitter, we're doing the whole thing. But it's from, like, a detached perspective in that it's not our life. Like, this is your life. Right. What was it like to kind of live through all this?
It was unexpected for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've known nothing but Boston. I've been there since 2007 when I signed, and, you know, I wouldn't trade in the experience I had there for anything. And but at the same time, excited to be a part of what's being built here.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't just get traded here, and it's just sort of the one deal, and everybody's talking about it, which they would. It's a significant move. But with everything else going on, it's got to add to it, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with all the guys that are coming in here, it's I'm sure there's a spark in the city, and everybody's excited for Padres baseball. And, you know, this is going to be a fun group to watch.
You mentioned not trading in your experience in Boston. Certainly can't blame you. Rookie year, you win a World Series. It's not a bad way to kick things off.
That's right.
Does that – when you get a taste of it, does that change anything? I mean, it's silly to ask a guy who won it his rookie year, I guess, but, like, you know how good it is. Most people don't.
Right. You know, actually, my rookie year, 2012, we were in last place.
Right.
And then 13, yeah, 13. My second year, we won it. And so I've kind of seen the both worlds. You know, I went from last place to first place to last place again. And last place is not fun, you know. That's anyone to tell you that. But being able to be around the veteran players that I was in Boston in 2013, you know, the group we had there was just like the perfect combination, perfect storm, I should say. But being on a World Series team, being on a team that's in the playoffs, and just gaining the experience from those older guys and watching the way they go about their business, how they step up their game in the playoffs, and just being around the atmosphere of the playoff games and the World Series, it's nothing like the regular season. It's completely different, and it's I'm glad I got to experience it.
Yeah, sorry, screwed up your ears there. No, but, yeah, I mean, even better, though, right? I mean, you get the perspective of both extremes, I guess. So you come here to San Diego. It feel like a fresh start to a certain extent? I mean, what does this feel like?
Absolutely. You know, I feel like I closed a chapter in my life, and, you know, I'm engaged now. I'm kind of starting a new chapter in my life, and, you know, switch coasts, and I don't think I've been more excited to start something.
I know you haven't spent much time here. You just got into town, but Petco's got a reputation really as one of the jewels of this league. Playing in Fenway is a pretty special deal, obviously, but not a bad ballpark here either.
Not bad at all. You know, even in construction that's going on right now, it's beautiful, and I'm excited to play here. I'm excited to play in front of these fans.
Well, the construction is going to result in a giant video board out in left field, brand new. You can have your big face all over it.
Oh, perfect.
It should be a lot of fun. Hey, man, really great to meet you. Thanks for stopping by.
You got it.
And welcome to San Diego.
Thank you very much.
The Padres might not be back until spring training, but we're back right now to talk Padres off-season baseball. It's Padres Social Hour.
The off-season special.
From the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
All right, we have heard from A.J. Preller, we have heard from Justin Upton, and also Will Middlebrooks, and we will hear from Derek Norris and Will Myers. Before we get to them, though, it is some fan questions, and to do that, Mike Grace, we're going to put you, sir, on the Cholula hot seat. So prepare your pants accordingly, because you are on the Cholula hot seat, and we're going to fire these fan questions at you, and you are going to be forced to provide answers to them.
They don't have to be good, right?
At least your best chance. No, not at all. They can be terrible answers. Sean on Twitter is first. Sean has the first hot seat question. He wants to talk about first base. It's a good question. He says, Medica or Alonso at first? What are we thinking? What are we hearing?
Padres might not be done. You could see a new face. But right now, I think it's both those guys. And that's one thing. Look, Yonder has a decent history. He can bring some things to this team. He can actually bring an on-base percentage that maybe some of these guys don't quite have. Mm-hmm. And he is a good defender. This team is lacking in good defenders. For everything this outfield does on offense, probably not going to be the best defensive outfield. A good first baseman can make up for a lot in the infield. So Yonder's probably going to get most of your reps at first right now. Tommy's a great right-handed option. Obviously a hot and cold player, but you could do worse. When you've got so much strength in the lineup, it's going to take pressure off guys like this. They can move a little lower down in the lineup, less stress. Hopefully that opens up their offensive abilities.
Yeah, no, I think as of right now, it's going to be a combo job. And, you know, I don't want to say it's going to be a strict lefty-righty platoon. Maybe it will be. I don't think we've heard that. But, you know, Buddy has said, and I think A.J. Preller has said too, those two guys for right now, it's their gig. All that being said, like, things change, we'll see, et cetera. All right, so interesting question there. Certainly, yeah. That's one of the big questions we're getting right now. The other big question I think a lot of people have is this one, and it comes this time from Paul and Willie. Similar kinds of question. Who leads off? Willie adds, what do we do with Cameron Maben? So let's take the first part first. Who do you see as the leadoff hitter? Let's assume, which is a silly thing to do, but let's assume we basically know who the eight guys are right now. Who's your leadoff hitter?
From what I think we've been reading and hearing, Will Myers is going to get the first shot. I think he's a lot more athletic than maybe people are giving him credit for. He's played center field in the minors. He feels good about it and is excited to do it. So he's got a little bit of speed. And I think we need to get away from the traditional leadoff theory. There's just not that many traditional leadoff guys anymore. Your Ricky Hendersons. I mean, even a Juan Pierre type. I mean, Philly's got Ben Revere, but when you look at the stats, they're not great. So in reality, what you want to do is get your best hitters the most at-bats possible. That's why a Mike Trout should bat first or second. That way he can get the most at-bats possible throughout the season. So, hey, if you're throwing Will Myers out there to get him as many at-bats as possible, that's not a bad option to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, traditionally, again, like you said, it's your Juan Pierre, your Ricky Henderson, your Ben Revere. But there aren't a ton of those guys. And more specifically to the Padres, there isn't a guy right now on this roster that's like that. So you can't go that way. The way the team is presently constructed, I don't know how high of a priority it is for A.J. Preller to find a guy like that because, A, it isn't going to be an outfielder, and a lot of times those guys are outfielders, maybe sometimes shortstops. And so, we'll throw Alexi Amarisa's name out there. I mean, it seems like anytime we've heard Buddy asked about Amarisa, he sort of said, hey, probably farther down, yeah, you know, in the order, and you're thinking, you know, eight maybe or seven, which is fine, again, assuming that he's the starting shortstop. As for Cameron Maben, I mean, you can expand the question to include Quentin and Venable. I mean, you can't imagine all three of those guys are on the opening day roster.
No, you can't. And it's all probably going to depend on how other teams value those guys and where you can get the most value in return. Venable probably has the most value being left-handed, can play really well in all three outfield positions, so he can relieve guys. Carlos Quentin actually intrigues me as a bat off the bench, as silly as that might sound. He is making a decent amount of money, but you look at his numbers throughout the years, and it's a very, very small sample size, but he provides a lot of power off the bench. I mean, that's a hitter to be feared at the end of a game if you know that guy's coming. So Cameron Maben could also be an excellent fourth outfielder for you. Going to play great defense. Again, another guy that might take some of the pressure off of his offensive expectations. Might blossom. You never know. I mean, that's what all this talent can do. It can bring other guys up to it.
That's the best case scenario. All right, Mike, you're handling yourself very nicely on the Cholula hot seat. We got one more for you, and it is red hot. Or I should say it is brown hot. Brendan says, have you seen the brown jersey design that was going around Twitter? John Brubaker, opinions? Should we go back to brown? Yeah, man, this one was a big deal late last week. Everybody was having a good time with it. I think let me say this first, and I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more.
Disclaimers.
This is such a subjective opinion-based thing. There is no right or wrong answer right here. If someone tells you they love that, they're not wrong. If someone tells you they hate that, they're not wrong. This is opinion. This is, you know, you saying your favorite color is yellow and Blooper saying his favorite color is purple. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're all allowed to have your own opinions on this one. So this is you can't be wrong here, Grace. What do you make of those John Brubaker designs?
I think he did a real nice job.
Yeah, they are good.
I think that pinstripe looks really sharp.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's no wrong opinions. And I think the group that loves the brown, they talk to the group that loves the brown. And so they're really going to bond around that. But I know a lot of people that don't. So I understand the reasoning and not just – doing it. So
yeah.
There's so many.
You're getting into the politics of it. I'm avoiding the politics of it. I like the pinstripe one a lot, my opinion. The brown one, I think it was just like a quick change
sure.
of the
yeah.
blue one now, which I don't love. But that pinstripe one, man, that was
– I like
that. Was really, really nice. It was a cream-based, not the bright white. Oh, I liked the number on the sleeve.
Mm.
Nice job, Brubaker. Nice
Good
job,
man.
And nice wow. job, Mike Grace, on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the green pepper sauce flavor today. When we come back, we will hear from Derek Norris and Will Myers, catcher and center fielder. Meanwhile, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you to San Diego for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Norris and Myers when we come back.
Getting you ready for the 2015 Padres. We're back with Padres Social Hour.
The off-season special.
Discussing the off-season and everything else Padres. Coming to you from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
This has not been a boring off-season. At Petco Construction, new video board, and of course in the front office, AJ Preller being bringing in all kinds of new guys, including Derek Norris and Will Myers, both of whom we will hear from now. I'll start with Norris. He was here after the press conference last week, and I said, hey, man, let's hop in our time machine, because we have one of those here. Go back to December 19th. That was the day of all the trades. And live it through your eyes, Derek Norris. What was that day like for you? Here's what he said.
Well, I had an opportunity to be part of kind of a crazy trade a few years back. I was in the Gio Gonzalez trade, but this one is a little more amplified. It's kind of the same aspect where you're bringing in a lot of players, but it's amplified to the point where you're bringing in some very talented, proven big leaguers onto one squad. And it's been pretty crazy, but it's an honor to be a part of it and to be a part of their plans to build something successful here in San Diego.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think there are trades and then there are trades. And like you said, this was part of something bigger. So as it was going on, I imagine you're following the hot stove a little bit. You know what other stuff is taking place. That's got to make it feel a little bit different.
You know, I was watching the winter meetings pretty closely, I think, just with – they said it's going to be one for the ages. So when someone comes out with that type of prediction, I mean, you're bound to watch and keep track of some things that – you know, it may change the game of baseball for a long time.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's been a fun year for you, obviously, the All-Star appearance this summer. What was that like, first All-Star selection?
You know, it was pretty hectic, but in a good way. You have so much stuff going on, especially in the town of Minneapolis, where they really throw on a good show, because there's not a whole lot going on there in a lot of months because it's so cold. When they get something special to come to the city in that beautiful ballpark, it was very special, and I had an opportunity for my family to come up and experience it with me, and It was very, very fun to be a part of something like that, and all the best players in the game on one field at the same time. It was pretty special.
Kind of like the All-Star game, the postseason, something you got to experience this year as well. I imagine kind of like with both of those things, man, once you get a taste for it, you don't want to not have it ever again.
Right, and, you know, I was fortunate to be able to go to the postseason 3 years in a row, two being against the Tigers, and we all know how that turned out, and obviously the wild card game with Kansas City. I've gotten my taste of the champagne and the celebration, but to come up short all 3 years and be bounced in the first round also leaves kind of a sour taste. So with the team that we got and we're building here, we're hoping to kind of continue that and maybe go further.
What would you say to a guy in the clubhouse that's never had that postseason experience, never been through it? You know, one of those things that you can only know if you've been through it.
You know, probably not a whole lot. I'd say there's not a whole lot that you can say to someone just you know, let's work, let's get to work, let's make the most out of our time in the spring and prep, and let's win some ball games, and you'll see for yourself.
It's fun to talk to you because you're going to be handling this pitching staff. It's a fun pitching staff. You know, we all went through it the last couple of years. This will be your first year here. What do you know about these guys coming in? And I imagine that's a big part of your job now, is getting to know these guys.
It's by far the most important part of my job, coming here and being the guy behind the plate. I'm hoping for the opportunity to be in there day in and day out and build these guys' trust. And fortunately, I've got a little head in with Tyson Ross. I caught him in 2012 with the A's. I had an opportunity to speak with Cashner a little bit. They seem very excited to be working with me, and vice versa. I'm very excited. They're a highly talented group of guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing with the back in the rotation and meeting some of these relievers as well, to seeing what they have to offer.
What's the process like for a catcher to get to know, you know, a pitcher, whether it's a starter or a reliever? I mean, is it a film thing? Is it a sit-down and talk thing? Probably a combination, I guess.
It's going to be a combination of a few things. Me getting in and watching video, if they want to join me and help the progress along a little bit. Catching their bullpens in the spring, obviously catching them into the spring and talking with them. If the guy likes to golf, I like to golf, you know, a couple rounds here and there throughout the spring too. I think that's a good way to get to know guys and not specifically just talk about baseball, but just to get to know them as a person and their personality and trying to lead on to some more success during the year.
All right, catcher Derek Norris is here. I asked for some Twitter questions for you, and unsurprisingly, they all came back about your beard, it seemed like. Not all of them, but a lot of them. A little trimmed now. I mean, it's there. What's the plan for the beard?
Well, you know, I wanted to look nice and spiffy, maybe surprise a few people here in San Diego, but I'm starting to lose a little on the top, so the mullet's probably going to stay gone. But the beard, stay a little bit more trimmed. I got a little itchy down the stretch last year, and it's going to be a little warmer here in San Diego than it does in the Bay. So, we'll have a nice little transition beard into a nice little full goatee this year maybe. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you heard it here first. Maybe a goatee for Derek Norris. A lot of interest on the facial hair, man. Hey, great to meet you. Welcome to San Diego, and thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Derek Norris. Another one of the new guys, of course, is Will Myers, and it sounds like he's going to be the starting center fielder this year. He has not spent a ton of big league time in center field, just two games, and I asked him how comfortable he is out in the open spaces of center field.
I love it. You know, it's something that I've always wanted to do, but coming up, I've always had a lot of good center fielders in front of me. So, but, you know, just to get the opportunity here, I'm very excited about it. Looking forward to getting familiar with Justin and Matt and, just putting together a good year.
What do you make of all these moves? I mean, the fans are sitting back then. Everybody's rubbing their hands together, really enjoying it. I imagine to be part of it, same kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just what AJ and the front office has done, I mean, it's been incredible just to see all these moves made. It's been a lot of fun just for me just sitting back and watching everything go down.
Do you pay attention to it?
All of it, yep. I watch.
Kind of the second time you've been through the whole trade thing, obviously. You're part of the Shields deal with KC and Tampa. What was different this time around for you?
This has been a lot easier for me. AJ and the Padres have made it easy on me. You know, not a lot of phone calls. You know, just come out here, get everything done. It hasn't been very hectic at all. You know, I think they've done a good job for me. So, I'm excited to be a part of it.
The press conference was earlier today. It was like the four of you up there. Mm-hmm. You got Buddy. You got A.J. Preller. It was like kind of a unique scene. I don't think a lot of us have ever seen that and certainly been a part of that. What was it like kind of being on display up there?
It was different. You know, I've never been a part of anything like that. But, you know, it's something cool for the fans. And, you know, that's what we're here for. I was just excited to be up there with that group of guys. You know, every one of them I've met, they've been awesome. Even some of the guys here that I met, they're already a part of the team. We're just a good group of guys.
You put out a tweet I know a lot of people liked, I think, on New Year's Day with the bat and the bag of balls you were getting ready to hit.
Yeah.
We saw you lifting some weights, I think, earlier today on Twitter as well. It sounds like the work has just not stopped at this point.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, going into this off season, you know, having a tough year, I have a lot to work for, you know, and I think that's what's really driven me this off season. And, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get into 2015 and get started, especially with this organization and what's going on with it so far.
For a lot of guys, a fresh start here in 2015. Last year was tough. Obviously, the injury was part of that. How are you feeling as we get ready for spring training?
I feel 100%. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, for me. You know, for any ball player with any type of injury, it's tough to go out there and perform at a high level, especially with an injury with a hand. You know, it's just something that's tough to perform. But, you know, I'm just excited to be finally healthy again and just to come out and compete and perform for the Padres.
All right, as we got to know Will Myers when we found out your name was in the mix here, we kept hearing and seeing two main things, I think, from the fans. One was the lack of batting gloves, which I like as a child of the 80s. That's a real nice throwback. And the other was the spelling of your first name, W-I. You can take those in any order as far as the explanations.
I'll start with the name. You know, I've got that question for forever. You know, yeah. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why my name is a 1L, but that's just the way it's always been. So that's all I can say on that one. With the batting gloves, it's more of a feel thing. You know, it's just something I don't like. I like to have full control of the bat. For me, that's what feels comfortable, and hitting's all about feel.
That's awesome. Will Myers, no batting gloves, lots of power, and an exciting addition to this Padre team. Welcome to San Diego. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome back to your guide to the 2014 Padres offseason. This is Padre Social Hour,
the offseason special
from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Before we get out of here, be remiss if we didn't congratulate Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio. They will be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame this summer. A, congratulations. B, the process is still just brutally flawed.
It's a mess.
Brutal, absolutely. And like we'll talk about it 50 times over the course of the season. It's sad. It's unfortunate. And I guess all I know, Mike, is I hope this time next year we're talking about being excited for Trevor Hoffman's induction.
Oh, let's hope.
That would be nice. That would be fun. But man, what a mess that thing is. That said, big time congrats to those guys. Earned it, deserved it, etc., etc. Thanks to A.J. Preller, Derek Norris, Will Myers, Will Middlebrooks, Justin Upton for stopping by. Our next off-season show is January 26th. Spring training before you know it.